Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome back to Liquidity and Liquor. Scott D. Clary with Joseph Martin. Today we're talking about trading algorithms, hedge funds, everything.
Yeah, so let's start with, what is a hedge fund first? What's the difference between a private equity, VC, and a hedge fund? A hedge fund is basically trade money in the stock market for people, and they have a strategy to work around that. Now, in today's world, I guess everyone followed Renaissance.
Renaissance is, so Jim Simmons, now multi-billionaire, he created Renaissance. It's a wild story. He's a mathematician. And I, you know, we could do a whole episode on that, but he basically created an algorithm that always beats the market. And Renaissance, which is his company, did so well that they stopped taking on clients, I'm sure 15 years ago.
Yeah,
and they just keep doing their thing.
It's one of the enigmas.
It's an enigma. They have a website that looks super outdated up. Mm-hmm. They have their returns posted there. You can't join up. You can't put your money in. Doesn't matter who you are or how much money you have. They're done. And he's one of the richest people in the world.
So then the idea is that
how did he figure this out?
Yeah. From what I understood, he's the first one that understood how to put math in trading instead of emotion and knowledge and insight trading and all that. Said, how can I go in and leverage math in creating a trade? And that brought up the whole trading algorithms. By the way, many would call it trading algorithm bots, but the actual engineers who do it do not like the name bot. So I had, I developed a trading algorithm, and one of the ways we did this was we had to bring in an engineer that builds trading algorithms in a different hedge fund. I'm not going to mention the name, obviously not the
because that, by the way, and the reason why is because after one person does it, then the smartest people in the world want to replicate that, because if this works properly,
Citadel, they all have that.
You
all
print the hedge funds, you literally are print money.
You print money. You sit down, and the bots are the one that are running the world. The algorithm tradings are the one running the world, because that's where you have a lot of cash. And if they're pushing money into one direction, it goes up. It moves the market. And it's not one or two. So if you look at Citadels, if you look at all the major hedge funds, that's how they're making their money now. Renaissance is an enigma. Prior to that, there are three enigmas. How do they make so much cash? It was Jeffrey Epstein. There was Bernie Madoff, and Renaissance. Yeah. Now, I'm picking this from Eric Weinstein on a podcast with Joe Rogan, a recent one which I recommend everyone go and listen to. It was actually about UFOs mostly, but he's a mathematician, Eric, and he was talking about that. And in reality today, when you go to a hedge fund, they have a lot of tools. Think of a trading algorithm more like a tool. Before you go into a war, you want to have a tool to help. You don't want to go with your bare hands just knowing what the market is. No, you need a mathematical tool to tell you what do you think about that particular commodity or stock and where to invest. Now, before I get people lost in it, I had a couple hours of explanation of how do they trade. And you have to understand, the person that I spoke to came in because it was a favor from another friend that he's also in his field, and he did not want to be, he's like, I cannot tell you what I do. Don't ask me what I do. Show me what you have, and then we'll help you from there. And the idea was like, it's like you're talking to Bob Lazar and Joe Rogan when there's that secret part. You work for Area 51. No one needs to know anything. That's how they keep it all closed. Those hedge funds that have tens of billions of dollars, they go through so many rigorous process to make sure you're going to say nothing about what you do. This is scary. And some of those, by the way, analysts that work there for years, they get a percentage of what their gain is. So after a couple of years, they're going to fly private jets. This is analysts that do a job that they're not crazy about, but they know that in a few years, once they bulk more and more cash and they get their returns on the cash that they get from, let's just say, if it's a 401k fund that you have to manage eventually, they get so much out of it that they buy jets. Now, and those are not traders. They know nothing about the market. So we sat down for a couple hours, and in a nutshell, I would say that it's a mind-blowing how it works, because I guess the biggest strategy, and I thought it would be cool to share this on the podcast, how do they manage money in opposed to a small trading algorithm that I'm going to build in my strategy, is that when you manage the cash, the number one rule is don't lose money. That's how they look at this. And the second one is now start making money. Is that first, how do they not lose money? So how do you bet against the market and go and on the market? So you say, well, if I'm looking at, if I have $100 to invest, I'm going to go to 100 companies and I'm going to put a dollar in each one. But I need to find companies that the algorithm decide that those are going to go long and those are going to go short. So I need to find 50 that goes long, 50 that goes short based on the algo, what the algo tells me. Right, and you can have multiple strategies without breaking it down. You can do support resistance, looking at candlesticks, what, whichever, right? But if you think that those 50 are going to go up, those 50 are going to go down, you go into both directions and you say, I'll put a dollar in each one of them. So everything sums at zero. If the market crashes, I'm not losing money. I'm not making money. But then if everything stays the same, I will gain. I will make a gain from the from the shorts and again from the long, because I went through an algorithm that reads the charts in its own mathematical way. But that is kind of like in a higher level. So you put 50 down, 50 up, and you go for that. They have also a
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Category, they can do it for a category. So if you decide to do it on a particular commodity and you say, well, I have 15 different gas companies that I'm going to short, 15 I'm going to long. If the whole petroleum industry goes down or up, I'm going to be,
and
this, or it can go
is
on
this
the market.
What, just to clarify, is this what your algorithm is doing, or is this what they do?
That's what they're doing, because when you have, say, $50 billion to manage,
yeah.
You can just, what I'll do is I will go, say, on the S&P. But with my cash that I'll do, I'm not going to move the market.
No, of course.
They cannot do 50 million every day, trading 50, a billion every day, right? So they have to do it on like 3,000 different companies all at once. So you can't really tell that they're there. Yeah. That was just a little bit on everything.
But you can go into a smaller segment because...
My strategy would be different. There's a different philosophy, different everything. They don't do... I don't want to say they. He came in very hard on, you do not do stop loss. I'm like, why? Well, we don't do stop loss. And they had... But I felt like they were in their own box, because they're just moving something completely different. When you do it for a smaller scale, you can definitely do a stop loss, but it's just a different story. But by the end of the day, both has to win. But the idea is that they managed so much wealth, and this is just one hedge fund. There are quite a few. And at the time when I spoke to him, you find that it's its own community of people that do it, and it's not that complicated, according to him. It's more about... there has to be a certain way that you have to go about that. It's not a rocket science. It's not an engineer that would say, I am changing the world with my inventions right now. So according to them, it is kind of boring. If you're an engineer that like to build stuff,
I could see it being boring. It's just an algorithm. But then I guess the question then becomes like, how is your algorithm better? Because, okay, so Renaissance was the Enigma to begin. And then now you have all the other funds in the world, including the Citadels of the world, that are doing probably similar types of algorithms, and they have these incredible data scientists and analysts and engineers that build these algorithms. But then you have all these other people that do all these algorithms, like you're building one yourself with a partner, and there's other people that build these bots, these trading bots. So it's like, How do you know what's good for the retail investor? How do I know what to? Because I'm not going to have access to Citadel. Mm-hmm. You know, Ken doesn't take my calls.
He's not.
Not anymore.
So you forgot where you came from.
So what can you do as an individual? Like, what works? What
like
doesn't?
Ideally is that
is it all bullshit?
No. I don't think it's all bullshit.
Not outside.
First of all, you raise a point, right? There is a first mover. Then it's a product life cycle. I believe that it's going to come down to a couple years from today. 10 years from today, it's all going to run with algorithms. It's just the way it is, right? And the algo has to think about the other algo's response to. But I feel like it's a product life cycle. What works now with the algo trading is not going to work tomorrow, but they have to have a back loop to understand how to improve themselves. Mm. And you're right. The one that has a better algo is going to be the winner. By the way, it started with a mathematician that did great. You'll never know. Maybe the real winners in the future is not going to be Renaissance. It might be someone else that came up with something more powerful. But again, it's a product life cycle. It starts with no competition, then competition comes in and it starts kind of like the slope goes down, down, down. Then it might even go down from there. It's like the slope goes down, but it still goes up, like derivative slope goes
and
down.
And how do you build yours then?
Well, if you have an algorithm that keeps improving itself. So I'll break it down how we look at things, right? And I don't mind sharing it. It's we're doing something called, and by the way, they use the same, I mean, they have many algorithms, but they said that it's something that they're also using. We use an algorithm concept. So you have strategies, but the strategy has to be built on an algorithm. And the algo that we have, it calls a genetic algorithm, which is based on the natural selection. So in a natural selection, think of it, you have chromosomes and genes, right? So every generation, you want to create better kids, that they'll take the best genes from you and your wife, mm-hmm. and the best chromosomes, and you build better chromosomes, right? That are built on genes. So then if you do in that case, in our case, what we're going to do is we're going to say, okay, let's take the last 30 days or the last year or whatever it is, and we're going to say, give me a chromosome, which a chromosome would be a strategy, which that chromosome, that give me chromosomes that are going to be going up, okay? So well, if you were betting on, say, gold against the dollar, and you would go on the support resistance strategy, and every 17 candlesticks, and we're going to do it every 1 minute, we're gonna, every 17 candlesticks, you're going to go and create a particular gene, and it's going to say any movement would not be less than 17 candlesticks, and you find out that with that strategy, you could have made X amount of money in the last X amount of months, and that would be... So you take that and you say, okay, but it will give you multiple chromosomes, and you pick the best chromosomes. You make sure that you do something called vector correlation. If you do math, you understand what it means. Vector correlation basically means that it's not the same strategy, basically, just a little changes. You want to make sure that it's completely different strategies from each other. And then you take the best ones, and then you run one or two or three. You run them, and then eventually it creates a new chromosome every so many, months or days, whatever.
The best one will survive.
And then you create a new one, yeah. And you say, well, with this new one, it would be better for the future, because if I was to use it in the last 3 months plus the last few months, it would have created different results that are better
so
by...
It's learning.
Exactly. That is the back loop to enrich the data, right? So you keep creating new and new chromosomes that are better, new children that are better. That's the strategy we've built on this.
I love that, dude.
Yeah.
That's
awesome. It's nice, yeah.
All right. Okay, that's it for today. If you enjoyed, please subscribe on YouTube. If you enjoyed this podcast, you can download and listen to it wherever you get your podcasts or on liquidityandliquor.com.